The other night we started a discussion of Tcheles, and a couple of people asked me to continue the discussion of Tcheles. I mentioned that the first topic that you have to talk about if you're going to discuss Tcheles, Bizman Hazeh, is whether the Tcheles that we have is the right one or the wrong one. And I ended up not speaking about that, so someone asked me to speak about that tonight. So that's our topic for tonight. Just a little bit of history first. The Gemara Maseches Menachos and Daf Mem Gimel mentions that Rav Achai had Tcheles. Now Rav Achai was from the last of the Amoraim, the first of the Rabbanim Savarai, and that was around the year 500. So in the year 500, Tcheles still existed. Medrash Tanchuma, which came out in the year 750 or so, not came out, was redacted in roughly the year 750, already says that he didn't have Tcheles. So somewhere between that time, between the year 500 and the year 750, Tcheles was lost. Why was it lost? Probably as a result of some sort of persecution and a loss of Jewish people who knew how to produce it in Eretz Yisrael as a result of Arab conquest of Palestine in 639 or of Christian massacres in 628. But around that Tkufa, there were major problems. In Bavel, it seems, though, they never really had Tcheles. They would always import it from Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara Menachos says that Abaye asked Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Abaye from Bavel, asked Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda, who used to visit Eretz Yisrael, how do they dye the wool with the chilazon? So Abaye obviously had no idea. Probably because in Bavel they didn't have it. It had to be imported from Eretz Yisrael. So the first rediscovery after it was originally lost was the Rezina Rebbe in 1887 published the first of three books that he published one after the other. The first book is called Sfunei Tmunei Chol, which is a presentation of the idea that if I find it, he says, I haven't found it yet, but if I find it, this sefer is here to convince you that I should use it. The second sefer he wrote is a sefer called Psil Tcheles, which is his proposal of what he thinks the chilazon really is. So he says, here's what I think the chilazon is, and he suggests a cuttlefish, and he tries to convince everyone that it's a type of squid found near Italy, that's the real chilazon. And then his third book, Einat Tcheles, he defends himself after the word got out that he thought he came up with the chilazon, and everyone started attacking him, so the third book defends himself from all those attacks. Later on, Rav Herzog did his PhD thesis on Chilazon, and he was hoping to prove the Rezina Rebbe to be correct. Unfortunately, what he found is that could not have been more incorrect, that there was a little bit of chemicals that you added to the dye from this cuttlefish in order to get the dye to turn the right kind of blue. And what Rav Herzog found was that potassium and iron added to any organic compound would turn it blue the same way, and you actually didn't need that dye at all. You could have used anything and would have turned it the same color, which is a pretty clear raya that dye is not the dye that we're looking for when it comes to the chilazon. And there were a lot of other problems with the Rezina Tcheles. Even though the Hasidim still wear it today, there were a lot of other problems with it. First of all, the cuttlefish was very common. It also can't exist in sand, and the Gemara talks about the chilazon existing in sand. The cuttlefish doesn't have a shell, and the Gemara implies that the chilazon has a shell of some sort. Also, the dye washes out with soap very easily. And we assume that one of the unique characteristics of the Tcheles dye is that it's very strong. It doesn't wash out very easily at all. The author of Yeshuas Malko said that, according to Rashi and Tosfos, his problem with the Rezina Tcheles is that, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the dye can't require any extra chemicals. So he mamish hit the nail on the head. He didn't realize how right he was, that the whole problem with the Rezina Tcheles is that it only turned the right color when you added chemicals to it, which messed up everything, because anything could have turned that color when you added those chemicals. Now, the Rav Herzog thought of the idea of the Murex trunculus, which we use today also, but he rejected it. He thought of the idea, but he said he rejected it for several reasons. First, he said that it doesn't hold strong. It washes off. He happened to have been incorrect about that. He must have seen it on cotton, not on wool. It stays very strong on wool. If you soak it in a bleach solution for several days, it will still be there. It stays extremely strong on wool. If you soak it in pure bleach, the wool won't be there. So you can't try that. But if you soak it in a bleach solution, it will still be there. So he was just wrong about that. He said that it's not blue, and that was a major problem because they didn't realize how to make it blue by exposing it to sunlight until the guy who was working with it, his wife told him, get out of the house with that smelly stuff. And he went out of the house and there was sunlight and all of a sudden it turned blue and he said, oh my God, I think I just found Tcheles. It was Rav Herzog didn't know yet that there was a way to actually make it turn blue. Also, the Gemara Menachos Mem Dalet says that it comes up once every 70 years. The Chilazon comes back once every 70 years. We know of no such thing when it comes to the Murex trunculus snail, that it comes up only once every 70 years. And also, it's not Dom Liyam. Rav Herzog said it's not. The Gemara says that the chilazon is supposed to be Dom Liyam. The chilazon, the Murex trunculus, is like a sand-like color. So he said it's not Dom Liyam, so it doesn't work. Now, he didn't see it in its natural environment. When it's actually in the water, it actually is Dom Liyam. Enough stuff from the ocean covers it that it actually is Dom Liyam. Once you rinse it off, after you take it out of the ocean, it then looks brown and it looks like sand. So he was a little bit off about that critique as well. He suggested a different fish, but said the main problem with it is that the dye doesn't stick. And in fact, the one that he suggested, the dye does not stick. So what are the rayas that Murex trunculus, what they use now, what the people in Eretz Yisrael, and what Rav Shechter and Rabbi Tendler and so many people use now, what are the rayas that it's the right thing, that it's the actual chilazon? So there's a Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Chav Zayin that says that the chilazon can be found between Haifa and Sidon, which is northern Israel, southern Lebanon, which happens to be exactly where you can find the Murex trunculus. So that's raya number one. Raya number two, Gemara Shabbos Daf Ayin Hay says that if you want the chilazon, that when you extract the dye, you need the chilazon to stay alive as long as possible when you extract the dye, and that's the only way for it to start off in its clear form. And in fact, Murex trunculus dye starts clear, then starts turning colors, goes from clear to yellow to green to blue to purple, exposed to sunlight, stays a blue. Right, so that's the it is something that starts off as a clear dye. Also, when the snail dies, there's an enzyme that makes the color change deteriorates, and you're not going to be able to get tchelas out of it. So it's important to keep it alive. So that description fits very nicely. Also, it's chemically identical. The strongest raya that they have is that it's chemically identical to plant indigo, which is kala ilan, which is what the Gemara assumes is the what they would use as the forgery of tchelas. Why was it a good forgery? Because it's chemically identical to the actual Murex trunculus dye. So it's literally the same thing. It was a very strong forgery. So if it's exactly the same, you understand why that was used as the forgery. Also, it seems from many sources that it was a shellfish, that we're not talking about a fish, we're talking about some type of snail. The Psikta de Rav Kahana says that it's nartik. The nartik around it grows with it. What's a nartik? It's a shell. Also, the Gemara in Shabbos says that when you open up the chilazon to get the dye, you're potseya. Potseya is like when you smash something with a hammer, you'd be potseya in egos. You crack open a nut. You don't crack open a slimy fish. You crack open a shell. So that implies that it's a shellfish. They also have linguistic rayas, that in Farsi and in Assyrian, the word for snail is actually chilazon. So that implies that it's a snail, that the chilazon is a snail, the way the language develops. Other linguistic rayas also not going to get into. The Braisa says that it's briyaso dome ledug. Its creation is similar to a fish. Now, if it was a fish, you wouldn't say it's like a fish. Right, so that implies that it's not exactly a fish, it's something similar to a fish, it's dome ledug, which implies that it might be something else, like a snail. Another raya that they have is the Gemara Masechet Megillah Dav Vav refers to Tzfune Tmunei Chol as the chilazon, meaning it implies that the chilazon is something that burrows itself in the sand, which of course a shellfish like the Murex trunculus does burrow itself in the sand. So that's another raya to the identity of it. The chilazon is also supposed to be something that's very uncommon and very difficult to get in large quantities, and this is no exception. The Murex trunculus fits that description very nicely as well. It's not something that's very common. That was one of the problems with the Rezina Tcheles, whose cuttlefish was found all over the place, was very easy to find, so that was one of the issues that he had, but it seems to fit with Murex trunculus. So it sounds great if we were to stop the shear 8 minutes and 53 seconds into it, and have an 8 minute 53 second halacha, we'd have everyone would wear tcheles. Problem is, there are a lot of kashas. There are several arguments that suggest that it's not the right tcheles. First of all, some say, well, how do you know that there's not some other undiscovered snail that has all those same characteristics, and perhaps even better characteristics? So Rav Herzog says that that can't be. He says it can't be that there's something else we don't know about, if this is a known thing that provides a blue dye. Because Rav Herzog said, the Gemara knew about the potential that people are going to use the wrong thing, and they're going to try to pass it off as the right thing. Now, if there was this Murex trunculus that people were able to get dye from, they were able to get blue dye from, why isn't the Gemara concerned about that? That people are going to try to pass that off as tcheles. Elamai, it must be that there's no other such snail that exists. A second critique they have is that it doesn't come up once every 70 years. So the answers to that critique are, number one, the Rambam doesn't even mention the requirement of once every 70 years when he discusses what Tchelis is. Number two, 70 is a number that Chazal used in an Agada context to mean once in a Yovel, or a little more than a Yovel, once in a long time. Chazal used it as an expression very often. It doesn't always mean to be taken literally. So it doesn't seem that that's a halacha, that it needs to be something that comes once every 70 years. It's just an expression to mean something that's uncommon. A third raya against it is the Rambam Hilchitzis Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, that says that the secretion that comes from the chilazim is actually black, it's not blue. The answer to that is that there's no such chazal. The Rambam seems to have made that up, so much so to the point that the Regina Rebbe thought the Rambam found something that he thought was the chilazim and was just observing what he found and thought was the chilazim and said, oh look, the secretion actually starts off black. That's how the Rezina Rebbe says, because there's no other source in existence that says that the secretion is black. It's not a chazal anywhere, and Rashi and Tosfos say beferish that it's blue. So it seems that that's not something that would be achroi to la halacha. Another problem they raise with it is the Gemara Menachos Memdalar Mbeis says it's briyaso kidag, which makes it sound that it should be more like a fish, less like a snail. We pointed out the Tchelos people say no, that's a dafka araya, that it is a snail, because otherwise you wouldn't compare it to a fish. Rav Yechiel Per from Yeshiva Farakaway wrote a letter in one of the RJJ journals where he added a few more critiques that others hadn't thought of. He pointed out that the Gemara talks about extracting the dye from the chilazon as a possibility of a violation of the malacha of dash. Now, the minimum shear to violate dash is a grogeris, and grogeris is a significant amount. It's a dried fig. How much dye do you actually get out of a single chilazon? 4 or 5 drops. So he says it's not even shaykh to disha. It doesn't even have the shear of disha. I thought that was a very stark taina. I don't know what the response to that taina is. How does the Gemara even have a discussion about disha? You don't even get enough. And second of all, Repair points out, the Gemara refers to it as dam chilazon. This is not the dam of the fish. It's some secretion that comes from the fish. It's not the dam. The Gemara has no shortage of words to use for other types of secretion. Lecha, rear, maya. The Gemara has all sorts of words that refer to secretions that are not blood. Why does the Gemara refer to it as dam chilazon? So he thinks that doesn't seem that it's correct. Also, there are several Rishonim that refer to the chilazon as a dug. And if they refer to it as a dug, maybe that's an indication that it should not be a shellfish. They point out that in response to that one, the Rambam Machol Suros Perek Beis Halacha Yud Beis seems to assume shellfish are halachically considered a fish. Legabe Tum and Tara. Okay, but that's the basic idea, the basic argument for, and the basic argument against. It is notable that in the Tshuvos that have been written on this topic by Rav Yashiv and Rav Sternbach, they don't even go down this road to discuss what the viability of any of these proofs. Because they say, okay, I'll grant you that you have a bunch of rayas that it might be right, but still, we don't think you should do it. And that was the discussion we had 2 nights ago, right? So they don't even begin this discussion. It does seem to be that if you hold, you can find it. That it's a much better possibility than the Rezina possibility and then Rav Herzog's possibility. It's the best one we've got. So that's why Rav Shechter was pretty convinced by it, and others are convinced by it. Many others remain very skeptical.